Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I said Happy New Year earlier, and you said to me, Happy New Year. I said it now, and you also responded, Happy New Year. That's the way we greet each other tonight. We say Happy New Year, and it's very good. Good greeting, very sensible, because we're right at the threshold of changing from 2021 to 2022. It's our way of extending our best wishes to one another as we start the new year. And our gathering together tonight for the Holy Mass is, for most of us, a way of giving thanks to God for the past year, for the blessings of the past year, and asking for blessings in the year to come. I think that's how most of us think about the new year, and that gives us two very good intentions when we get to New Year's Eve: gratitude and petition. Joyful gratitude for what we have received, humble petition for what we will still need in the future. It's a good way to start the year. It's a good way to start anything. Start a new project, or start a new day, or a new stage of our life. Start with gratitude and with humble petition. However, the Church's focus tonight and tomorrow seems to be completely different. And it doesn't even seem to be connected. Tonight's Mass and tomorrow, tonight's Mass is a vigil Mass in honor of the solemnity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God. Solemnity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God. You won't hear anybody talking about that in the news. You won't find anybody blowing up fireworks in honor of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And you won't have anybody greeting you tonight, Happy Solemnity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God. Nobody says that. Maybe because it's too long, too many words. But nobody says Happy Marian Feast Day or Happy Feast Day. It's Happy New Year is the standard greeting. So some people wonder, why is this? Is the Church just so out of touch with what people are really thinking about? Or does the Church not care at all that it's New Year's Eve, or that tomorrow is New Year's Day? Well, part of the reason for this is mostly historical, because going back to the life of Jesus, what's important at this stage of Jesus' life is the eighth day. The eighth day, according to the gospel that I just read, is the day, the octave day of Christmas, the day on which he was circumcised according to the Jewish law, the day on which he officially received his name, Jesus. The gospel said he actually received that name before he was even conceived. Remember, the angel told Mary, and the angel told Joseph, name him Jesus. Well, on the eighth day of his life, which is tomorrow, that's when he received his name. So it's a kind of historical accident that the eighth day, the octave day of Christmas, happens to land on New Year's Day. It wasn't always like that, because New Year's Day wasn't always on January 1st. The beginning of a new year, it depends on which calendar you follow. You know, for many years, ancient Rome started the new year on March 1st. March was the first month of the year for the Romans. That's why that our system of naming the months still reflects that. When you get to September sounds like it should be the seventh month, but it's really the ninth month. You know, Octo is a word for eight. October sounds like it should be eighth month. It's really the tenth month. That's because the year used to start on March 1st. Well, when Jesus was born, the Romans had already changed their calendar, and they had started their year January 1st. But Jesus was Jewish, and the Jews have their own calendar. For the Jews, the new year starts sometime in September. They follow a lunar calendar, not a solar calendar. So their new year starts somewhere near the equinox in or the, on the new moon sometime in September. And I'm sure you're saying, well, what does that have to do with us? What does the equinox in September have to do with us on New Year's Eve? Nothing, right? Nothing. And that's the point. The point is, the date of the new year is really not very important. It could be something else if we followed a different calendar. Maybe some of you are Chinese or have Chinese background. You know that the Chinese have their own new year sometime in February, I think, or sometimes January. It changes. Different calendar, different new year. And the church says, okay, fine, fine. You want to celebrate New Year's Day? Fine. Happy New Year. As long as you don't believe any of the superstitions. Don't believe any superstitions about New Year, about fireworks and all these things. It's okay to have fun on New Year's Eve, but don't believe that you're driving away bad luck or evil spirits or anything like that by making noise. That doesn't do it. Anyway, the point is, we can celebrate New Year if we want, but let's not let this minor matter of the change of the date distract us from what is really important. What is really important is the birthday of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. We can celebrate New Year's Eve, and in a few hours it will be over already. But we celebrate Christmas with a festive octave. 8 days, which leads up to this feast of Our Lady, leads up to Mary. So maybe January 1st, not that significant, but remember, how we count years is still based on Christmas, and it's based on the birthday of Jesus Christ. We say, how many years since Christ was born? That's why we say AD 2022, AD Anno Domini, in the year of the Lord, Anno Domini, in the year of the Lord, 2022. How many years since he was born? And if we want to go back before he was born, BC, before Christ. So history is marked, is measured by the presence of Jesus Christ, the birthday of Jesus Christ. In the flow of time, and in our thinking about the flow of time, the best standard is not the calendar, because the calendar could be changed. The best standard is the Lord. That's how a Christian thinks. And I think this is one of the important lessons for the feast falling on New Year's Day. We can learn to evaluate our time, evaluate our years, according to the Lord, and not any other standard, not according to how much money we make or how good or bad things went. According to the Lord, to look at everything through the eyes of faith. So people look back at 2021 and they say, oh, it was a bad year, it was a hard year, it was a COVID year, so-and-so died, this or that bad thing happened, Typhoon Odette was terrible this year, it's a good thing that's over. Other people might say, well, at least it was better than 2020. Other people would say, well, there were some good things in 2021. We're still alive, we're still here, thanks be to God. Our loved ones are still here. We're here together tonight. We have something to be grateful for. And perhaps some people could say, well, their business recovered, or maybe had a new child. I don't know if anyone had a baby this year, or maybe a grandchild. You say, well, there's things that we are grateful for, and different things that happened in the course of time, good and bad. But the most important way of measuring this has to do with the Lord. With eyes of faith, we can see that God is at work whether we think something's good or bad. God can even bring good out of evil. What seems very bad to us, like this pandemic that never seems to go away, God can still use for good if we're following him, if we're trusting in him, if we're looking toward eternal life and not just fixed on things that are going to pass away anyway. So the question we can ask ourselves is, well, did I grow closer to God in 2021? Did I become more loving, that I become more forgiving, that I become more patient, more grateful, more humble, that I become more like Jesus Christ in 2021? If so, well then, it was a good year. It was a very good year, even if it was hard, even if there was a high price to pay, a lot of suffering to get us closer to God. The price is worth it if it brings us closer to God. So that's a way to think about the past, but we can also apply this lesson, this standard of faith, to the how we look to the future, how we look to 2022. How can we grow closer to God in the new year that's about to begin? How can we grow in holiness? How can we grow more like Jesus Christ? Well, there's a secret to that. Catholic secret. You know the Catholic secret? The Blessed Virgin Mary. The Blessed Virgin Mary. That's why we have a big feast day for her. We honor her as Mother of God, Theotokos, the Greek word for that, Theotokos, meaning the God-bearer. This is her first and most important title, Mother of God. We start the new year with the Mother of God. Well, see, this title tells us something essential, first about Mary herself, that she's a mother, her role in the life of Jesus, she's his mother. God didn't need a mother. He could have done it any way he wanted to. He chose Mary and gave her this unique role. That's what we celebrate tonight. This title, Mother of God, also tells us something about Jesus, that he's God. Yes. If Mary is Mother of God, well then, Jesus is God, a God who is born. That's the miracle we celebrate at Christmas. A God who is born. He's God and man. He's Son of the Father and he's Son of Mary, both. And this feast day also tells us, or reminds us, of the importance of Mary in our own relationship with Jesus. God has chosen to insert her into the process of God coming to us and us coming to God. Think of the stories of the first people to meet Jesus, the shepherds, after Mary and Joseph, of course. When the shepherds arrive, I just read about that in the Gospel, when they arrive to find Jesus, they find him with Mary. On Sunday, when we celebrate Epiphany, the coming of the Magi, when the Magi arrive in Bethlehem to find the newborn king, they find him with Mary. If we want to find Jesus, if we want to grow closer to him, we can always find him with Mary, his mother. We can find him through Mary, his mother. So, let me give you just one practical idea for this feast and for this new year. Choose something to strengthen your relationship with Mary. Some way to grow closer to Mary during 2022. Now, probably the best is the rosary, the daily rosary. If you're praying the daily rosary, keep it up. Keep it up for the whole year 2022. That's a great way to join Mary in pondering the mysteries in our hearts. So we said in the Gospel, Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. That's what we do when we pray the rosary. If the rosary seems like it's too much for you, choose something else. Choose some beautiful prayer or some devotion that attracts you and be faithful to it so that your relationship with Mary grows. This chapel is dedicated to Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal. You got it? Miraculous Medal. So do you have a Miraculous Medal? Do you wear a Miraculous Medal? Do you carry a Miraculous Medal? I hope so. That's a very beautiful devotion. You know that prayer that's stamped on the medal? O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to you. Is that here? Anyway, that's what it says on the Miraculous Medal. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to you. That's a very powerful prayer. Better than fireworks. Better than making noise on New Year's Eve. Say, Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to you. If you're struggling, or if you're afraid, or if you have a special need, or if you're facing a temptation, or if you don't know what to do, say, Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to you. Beautiful, simple, short prayer. Good way to put ourselves under her maternal intercession. Okay, maybe that's enough. Yeah, let's stay with this. Huh? I'll just sum it up. Gratitude, yes, for 2021. Humble petition for blessings on 2022. Learn to see everything, all time and all events, with eyes of faith. And rely on the powerful intercession of Holy Mary, Mother of God, Mary, our Blessed Mother. Amen.